Well, hi there, and welcome to the Flying Kitchen Express, the cooking podcast for busy people who need to cook, who want to cook, who like food, but just don't really have much time to think about it. My name is Shannon Favich. I'm a recipe writer. I'm really a creative cook. I got a lot of good ideas, okay? And so I'm also a busy mom. I'm a military spouse of almost 27 years, and my husband and I have 7 children. And, you know, one of the things that I've always been good at is staying pretty organized and, you know, having a meal plan. And if I don't have a meal plan, I have this creative thing where I can just make something up, okay? And that's kind of how, well, that is exactly how I became a recipe writer, which the story's much longer, but I began my work in the food industry in 1999. I began working in the food industry really by accident. I had taken a cake decorating course when I was 8 months pregnant with my oldest child. I was 24 years old. Excuse my throat clears. Maybe I can edit those out. But I was 24 years old, and I remember telling my husband, I said, you know, I've always wanted to be the kind of mom who decorates cakes. And so we saw this lady in the exchange at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, because my husband's a Marine. He's still a Marine. And she was doing these demos where she would make these roses out of buttercream and, you know, hand them away like little snacks. And I just thought, oh, yeah, that is the coolest thing I've ever done or I've ever seen. And I've always wanted to do that. Now, and my education is in music. And and so I've always kind of had a performative flair, right? And so but I knew that once I became a mother, you know, especially living where we were living, there's just no way I could do the kind of music work that I wanted to do. It would just involve a lot of driving, and I wanted to just kind of chill out and hang out with my baby. And so what happened was, is I took the cake decorating course. I had the best time of my life, a much better time than studying music, because there's no pressure. You know, I mean, this is something I never knew I could do. It's not like I'd spent years and years and years trying and trying. And I was like, this is the best thing ever, because there's no pressure. There's no expectation. I'm just having a great time. Okay. I'm just having the time of my life making, you know, decorated cakes out of buttercream. I mean, it was the best. So I took that whole cake decorating course. I insisted on making my own baby shower cake because I wanted to do it, right? And then after that, friends started asking me, hey, you know, can you make a cake for this, you know, my son's birthday? And so the first professional cake I made, my daughter was 3 months old. And, you know, she was just so happy in her little bouncy chair. And I was just so happy I had the cutest kitchen when we lived in North Carolina. I had this big sliding glass door. So it was just flooded with light, and we just had the best time. And of course, because I wanted I remember, you know, putting, I have music playing because I wanted to instill my daughter with the musical values I had, you know, been accustomed to. So I played English madrigals for her, which is a specialty type of Renaissance music. And so funny because every time I hear a certain song, I think about sitting in the kitchen or being in the kitchen with her decorating cakes and just her sitting in her little bouncy chair as happy as could be. Okay, so here's the thing about this podcast. I have been planning to do this podcast for a year. And I first announced it, I was like, in March of 2022, I'm going to give you all my quick and easy dinner ideas. And then my dogs died, which was terrible. And then summer came and the kids were home and it was loud in the house. And anyway, also what I did, and so I hope you don't mind, but I'm going to have to sprinkle some you know, pearls of wisdom here, okay, about efficiency, about knowing yourself. But here I was, I had already put constraints on myself and like, okay, the podcast is going to be 10 minutes. The podcast is going to do this. And I'm da, 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 and I'm going to put, first I was like, I'm going to publish twice a week. And then I'm going to publish once a week. And what I realized is, as a creative person, the minute I start putting, like making a deadline for myself, and the minute I start saying, well, it can only be a 10-minute podcast because you don't want to bore people, or blah, 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 then it's like it sucks all the energy out of me, and then I don't produce anything. And so, you know, this does correlate to what I was just talking about with, you know, I had so much fun decorating cakes because there was no rules, there were no constraints, there were no expectations. Nobody was even like, gosh, Shannon, you've been studying music for 14 years now. Haven't you done anything with that yet? I mean, it was just so fun. And so, you know, one thing I think that everyone needs is to know themselves well enough to know what their sweet spot is as far as productivity and as far as efficiency and just, I mean, basic joy of living, okay? Basic joy of living. And so once I was able to go, okay, I know where the damn blocks are on the podcast. It was because I already committed, oh, you have to do it this way and you have to do it this way. And you know what? Until, it, you know, if I ever have a, you know, a quote team, I know some people do. I can't foresee that in my future where I'll actually have like a team of people working for me. I mean, wouldn't that be something? I don't know. I don't know. Maybe think about it, you know, 10 years or so. But until I actually have other people to do the work and the grind work, which for me is everything that I do right now, I'm doing myself. And which is the website building and the video editing and the audio editing now, the photographs and the graphics and the social media posts and the recipe writing, and no, don't forget just the cooking, right? Until I get actual people to do that stuff, which I may never even want to, but until then, I'm not going to be doing this whole deadline thing because it sucks the joy out of it for me. And so that's at least, you know, these miniature contracts that we make with ourselves, which we just have to, if we want to do what it is we want to do, we have to see how it works for us. And so it's just like that cake decorating back in 1999 when I was having the time of my life. It's because it wasn't expected. It was the last thing I expected to do was start a cake business when my first child was 3 months old. And I ran that business off and on for 11 years. And then I decided, because I had had my fifth child in 2009, so 10 years later, and I thought, okay, I need to wrap up this business. I need to wrap it up because it was starting to be, I was getting so much business that we're talking deadlines, high stakes deadlines, like wedding cakes and things that I knew I couldn't operate, you know, help in a healthy way with a bunch of kids at home and making someone's wedding cake. I was like, that's absurd. Because I don't have a team of people here, right, helping me. And so I was able to kind of shut down the business. I only made birthday cakes for my kids after that. And then I started writing the recipes and teaching the lessons. And so if you're listening, okay, I want to tell you that I really appreciate your time. I appreciate you listening. And I just wanted to give you some kind of what to expect. Yes, I have good food ideas, and I'm going to give you my recipes and I'm going to give you my food ideas. But I also have a lot of home management skills and efficiency tactics. And so my first lesson for you today, when you're looking at your life and you're like, oh, how am I going to do what it is I want to do? If there's something you truly want to do, which for me is this, all this, you know, recipe writing work and the videos I do on my website. And, my suggestion to you is do it because you want to honor the fact that you want it And that's okay. Okay? I wanted the cake business. It was crazy, wild fun for me. And I was able to grow as a person, where if I hadn't have had all of that adventure in front of me, I would not have grown as a person. I would not have been put in situations where I had to be really emotionally mature, handle like a difficult client. I honestly don't, I it was just, it was the right thing for me. Okay. And I got stories too. Wow, do I ever have stories. Anyway, and that's another thing. So I am caught talking to you today from Germany. I'm in my upstairs. It's basically, it's like a whole floor of my house that is, I have a kitchen, I have a big working studio, and I work by myself. I have my little dog Nutmeg here. And if you follow me on Facebook or Instagram, you know about Nutmeg's story, which we'll talk about another time. But and so I work by myself and I love it because I know how hard it is to be negotiating with other people, and I know how hard it is to, figure out the parameters of what you will and you won't do when you're working around other people. But when you are working by yourself, even if you're just running a household, not just, because that's a huge job. If you're running a household, if you're parenting, you still need to look at yourself and look at how your days are going and look at if you're happy or not. And negotiate with yourself. Okay, what am I doing here that I really want to do? What about this equation is sucking the joy right out of my life? Okay, and you really kind of have to sleuth it out. And so, anyway, that's my lesson for you today as far as efficiency and like moving towards your dreams and everything, is that you really do get to do that. In fact, you must. In fact, you have a moral obligation to yourself and every single person who is around you to be discerning over how you go about things and how what you put up with. And I'm not talking about, because I work by myself. I don't really have to put up with much, but I have to put up with myself and my own weird little eccentricities and the tendency to make rules where and really there don't not really need to be rules. Okay, so back to podcasts. I have found that the podcasts that I really like to listen to are kind of a free flow. And so hopefully you like that too. And if you don't have time, to listen to my advice or any of the extras I put in this podcast, that's okay. You just go to my website. It's all right there. It's all written out. It's all the pictures. I'm very proud of it. I built it myself. And I built it over, well, I learned the skills over years and years and years because I wanted to. It brought me joy. So anyway, use that resource, the recipes, you can print them out. It's free. It's great. Okay. Oh, also, I wanted to say that if you have questions for me, okay, because I run a household, my household is cracking, okay? It is well managed, it is efficient, and it is not because it came easy for me. It's because I worked really hard on it and I used these methods for my own efficiency on my household too. And I do have ideas. And so if you're like, okay, if you have questions about meal prep, about grocery shopping, about anything really, cooking things ahead of time, massive meal prep, even things like moving, even things like military life. I just want you to know that you can ask that question and you can send me an email, shannon@theflyingkitchen.com. That is where you can go just to send a question or an email. But don't be nasty, okay? Don't be a troll. Don't send me mean stuff, 'cause I'll block you. I will. And I have and that's just the way of life, okay? But really, if you actually have a question about household management, a few years ago, I was working on this course, like a home management mentorship program. And I worked really hard on that, trying to put it all together. And then COVID hit, and then I thought, well, that was we it'd be a pretty awful thing to do when everyone's in crisis for me to go, I know how you can manage your house better, you know, because everyone's just freaking out. And then by that time, I had really kind of lost the joy of kind of conveying that information. I don't know if I'll ever publish that, but probably it will have a lot to do with the questions you ask me about running your household or managing meal prep, like what kind of meals can you take to work? Even safety, food safety questions, which I have answers to those too, because I studied that too. So exciting. Okay. Now let's talk about the dinner I want to tell you about today. Okay. I love cooking. It's like my safe place. It's relaxing and it smells good. But I also do a lot of other things like take care of my house and I have to edit all this video stuff and I got to take my kids places and dentists and orthodontists and doctor appointments and everything. So the recipes I'm going to tell you about on this podcast are those recipes that I have developed because I had no time, but I had a talent for just running into the store, grabbing whatever looked good, and basically thinking about it and figuring it out in my head on the way home, and then making it. Really, it's been kind of a handy skill to have. Once again, though, I will say, because if you're like, I can't do that, and I'm going to tell you why I can do that. It's because I never had the expectation that I should. It's just like the cake decorating. It came out of the blue. It was just a completely delightful thing. So, you know, think about that. If you're really hard on yourself about certain things, understand it's because the expectation has been put there that that's what you're supposed to do. Okay, so let me just say that. Like in the music world, panic attack every time I perform. Absolute panic attack. Why? Is it because I have anything to be afraid of? No. I have decades of experience. I had the best teachers. It's because of the expectation that I was supposed to be doing that. So, more on that later. But I hope you understand what I'm trying to say, and I hope you understand the intent behind me saying it. And I really think a lot of times, women especially, it depends on the culture you were raised in and microcultures, because I do a lot of study on small religious sects or even large religious sects. But I will tell you that in certain religious sects, if you are raised in an environment where your sole purpose is to be a homemaker, you are going to feel so much more expectation and pain over just the daily maneuverings of this. I mean, some people don't. Some people are raised in the environment and then they grow up and they do fine in it. But other people, and I see this because I don't carry it, so I can spot it, and I know it when I see it. And it's not because I'm judging, it's because I'm empathetic, because I understand that you're in pain. And so, in all the years I've taught cooking lessons, you know, it's this kind of pent up fear of failure because it wasn't put on you as an expectation of what you were supposed to do. Okay. So I'm just saying that if you're in that space and you're like, you know, wondering, like, how come you, Shannon, you can walk into a store, buy stuff, cook it, and it turns out it's because I never had the expectation it was what I should do. To me, it was just grand fun. Okay. So let's just put that there. The chicken pesto pasta. Okay, now let's talk about something lighter. Chicken pesto pasta. Okay, this is a great dish for any season of the year. I mean, it's great in the winter, it's great in the spring, summer, fall. It's gorgeous, it's easy. All right, now I'm looking at my website right now. And so if you go to my website, theflyingkitchen.com, you are going to see a picture of my chicken pesto pasta. And it's this big casserole dish of pasta, and it's got garnished with some you know, tomato slices and Kalamata olives. And I am just going to very quickly and efficiently talk to you about this recipe and read you the ingredients, okay? What you need to make my chicken pesto pasta are chicken breasts, olive oil, garlic powder, salt and pepper, okay? Pasta. Angel hair pasta is great because it cooks up so fast, okay? Because we want to make this really fast. You're going to save some of that pasta water. I want you to get a jar of pre-made pesto sauce. That's right. You don't have to make pesto. That's ridiculous. Besides, I can never find enough basil to actually make a decent quantity of pesto sauce. I mean, now, pesto sauce is sold in 6.7 ounce jars, okay? And the reason why they sell pesto sauce in jars that are half the size of the big marinara jars is because you don't need as much pesto sauce to cover a pound of pasta, okay? Now, we have some garnish ideas, which I'll tell you about later. But first, let's talk about the operations of getting these things on your, you know, getting these things all put together so you can have a dinner to eat. The chicken breasts, what you're going to do with the fresh chicken breasts, or if they're frozen, just defrost them. You're going to cut each chicken breast into 6 to 8 pieces. Okay. I know. And honestly, that's the hardest and worst part of this recipe. I hate touching raw chicken, especially. I don't know why, but it's just, it grosses me out every time. And then of course, I am always worried that, you know, there's salmonella or something in my kitchen. But you're just going to take a very sharp knife, cut each chicken breast down lengthwise, and then cut it widthwise 3 or 4 times. So you have 6 to 8 little chunks, okay? If you want to cut your chicken breasts in smaller pieces, that's fine. Actually, they're just going to cook faster. But usually, I'm so grossed out by cutting chicken breasts, I just want to get it over as quickly as possible. Okay, so then you're going to take those chicken breasts, go wash your hands and all of that, and wash your cutting board and all that. Put the chicken breasts in a skillet with 3 tablespoons of olive oil. And then you just, you know, stir it around a little bit, turn the burner on, and then over the top, put 2 teaspoons of garlic powder and 1 teaspoon of salt over that chicken. Stir it around. You're just going to brown that chicken. Not even. You're just cooking it. Okay. And automatically it's going to smell good. And you're going to feel better, okay? Now, I want you to get hot water, put it into a boiling pot. Put a couple of tablespoons of salt in that pot. Set it to boil, okay? And the reason why I want you to start your chicken first is because we don't want that pasta to get all gummy if we overcook it or if you drain it and let it sit, okay? So we're getting that chicken put in first. And so you get that chicken going, stir it around a little bit. And when the outside of the chicken is just a little golden, go ahead and pop in the pesto sauce. Okay. And stir that around. If you need to turn the burner off, you can, because you're going to wait for your pasta to cook now. Get 1/2 cup of pasta water when your pasta's finished, and put it in the pan with your chicken, okay? Stir that around. Now you've got a wonderful sauce. It's fragrant. It's this chicken pesto sauce. It's gorgeous. It's got a little extra garlic in, just a tiny bit of extra salt, and you've kind of thickened it up with the pasta water, which is gonna make it, which is just gonna give it a really nice texture, okay? So drain your pasta, put it in a big plate or platter, sometimes just use a casserole dish, and then pour the pesto sauce with the chicken over the pasta, toss it up with some tongs. Okay, that's really all it takes. So fast and so easy. And the great thing about this recipe is that it's just really good. I mean, it's just really good. And it's pretty hard to mess up. Okay. Now the garnishes, you could do just about anything, with the garnishes. I've made it in so many ways, and, because this is the recipe I planned on making for my very first podcast, and I, because I kept putting off the podcast so long, I'd be like, let me just make that chicken pesto pasta again, make sure it works. So I've been making it about every month for a year, and it's good in every season, okay? But some garnish ideas, okay? And these are just things I had at on hand at any given time. Mini mozzarella balls, okay? Those are so good. If you have them, if you want to really make this fancy, get some little mini mozzarella balls, drain them, put them on top as a garnish. Pitted Kalamata olives, a delicious garnish as well. And that briny saltiness really just works with the chicken. And another good garnish would be chopped up tomatoes or little grape tomatoes. Another great garnish are some fresh basil leaves and some grated Parmesan cheese. So the one thing I just want to impress upon you is that once you get that chicken a little browned and you put in your pasta sauce, after you put in the pasta water in the pot, let it bubble, okay? You're gonna have a nice little bubbly mixture there, and that's when the chicken is gonna finish cooking, okay? Just let it bubble on medium, not too hot. You don't want it all to evaporate. And you're going to have, a really nice dinner. The chicken is going to be nice and tender. It's not going to be overcooked. And I think, everyone loves to cook with chicken breasts, right? Everyone's always, every recipe I write that is made with chicken thighs, everyone says, oh, can I use chicken breasts? And I usually want to say, no, you can't. Because I feel like Jack Nicholson, and I want to say, you can't handle the truth of how dry chicken breasts can actually get and the skill it takes to actually cook a chicken breast properly. Okay. You can't handle the truth, but in this recipe, you will do fine with chicken breasts. Okay. Okay. Now, some possible side dishes. Grab a bag of salad. You can grab some Caesar dressing, that'd be delicious, and also some garlic bread. And you've got yourself a big old wonderful meal. Now, I want to talk about the quantity of this recipe really quick. So I've written this recipe, I call it for normal size families, which is not my family, because like I said, my husband and I have 7 kids, which 5 kids are still at home, but they're big teenagers. So I double this recipe, okay? I use 2 pounds of chicken breasts and I use 2 pounds of pasta. So I want you to think about that. That means that we have a 1-to-1 ratio of chicken to pasta. So if you are, let's say you're driving home and you've got you're gonna feed 16 people tonight. Easy, go on your ratio. Do 4 pounds of chicken and 4 pounds of pasta. And so that's, I love ratios. They're the coolest thing ever. And so that's just what I want you to remember on this recipe. We've got a 1-to-1 ratio of chicken breasts and pasta. Okay. Now you don't have to use angel hair pasta. In fact, if you go to my website and you look really closely at the picture, you will see that I didn't even use angel hair pasta on this recipe that I took the fancy picture of. In fact, I used a mixture of angel hair pasta and linguine because that's the way I roll, because that's all I had at the time. And I remember thinking, gosh darn it, I'm gonna publish this picture and it doesn't even have all angel hair pasta. What if somebody notices? And that's my rules brain. Remember that brain of mine that doesn't help me? That's it. And I remember thinking, later, I thought, well, maybe nobody will notice that it's half linguine and half angel hair. Because does anyone really care? I don't think so. But you see, sometimes the things that your brain thinks are a rule and you don't want to do it actually is one of your greatest strengths. Okay, so it's a great strength of mine to just go into my pantry and say, I just got to use what I have. Okay, because that's what real life cooking is. Okay. And so if you have something that you think is about you that's just not great and you're like, I can't do that because what will people think? That might just be your greatest strength, And so that's my linguine and angel hair story of the podcast. And you may have your own angel hair linguine combo in your life. And I'm just saying, maybe that's actually kind of cool. Okay. So that's the story behind the chicken pesto pasta. And I said, oh, it's already been 30 minutes. Well, if you want to stick around, all right, I am going to tell you a good lunch idea. Okay, now this is a good lunch idea for you if you are, if you need something that's very nourishing and, like, I call it energizing. Okay, I've been rejecting diet culture lately. There's a whole story behind that too. Well, I'll tell you what, I've been giving it 110%. And so I'm not going to use words like, healthy and, slimming or whatever, but I will say that this lunch idea, well, it's delicious, but it's also, I'll just say it's energizing. Okay. So if you want a lunch idea, and I'm, if you work from home or even if you're going to pack this lunch, okay. This is a lunch I just made today. Remember how I said I'm really good at making stuff up? Okay, so today I had just taken little Nutmeg out for a very nice brisk walk here in Germany. And I came home and I thought, I better eat something because I really should. Okay, so it's kind of this, I like to call it a hot salad. It's not a salad with lettuce, but it's still a vegetable heavy dish. And protein heavy, and it's going to leave you feeling, really good. It's really delicious. But it's not like a cold, crunchy salad. It's a hot salad. I mean, it's not even a stir fry. It's a hot salad. That's exactly what it is. It's a hot salad. Okay, so this is what you do. And if you go to my website to the chicken pesto pasta recipe, you can find that on my website. Just because you've listened to this podcast and you've gotten this far, I'm gonna leave the recipe for this really good lunch in that post, okay? So you have it's a little nugget. It's a little bonus, okay? It's not like it's gonna be like a big picture in the front. It's a prize. Okay, so this is what you do to make this. It's a chicken, broccoli, and cashew hot salad. Okay. So the first thing you're gonna need is a single size serving of pre-cooked seasoned chicken. Okay. Now, we get these in Germany. It's like it's chicken that's cooked and it's in a little plastic, container. I'm sure you have them in the US. If they have them in Germany, then you have them too. And it's a pre-cooked chicken breast, basically. And I chop it up in small pieces, and I got a whole head of broccoli. I chopped up the broccoli, I threw it on a baking pan. And I covered it with a little salt and olive oil, and I roasted it. Okay, this is a salad with roasted broccoli. Oh my gosh. Okay, so I roasted the broccoli at 400 degrees for about 15 to 20 minutes. Okay, so it got all nutty, it got all beautiful, and just a little crunchy, but really, I mean, cooked through. Okay, so took the broccoli out of the oven. I put that cut up pre-made chicken breast on the pan alongside the broccoli. Okay, put it back in the oven. So now we've got our chicken heating up. Okay, while that the chicken's heating up, the broccoli's just finishing cooking. I chopped up a quarter of a red onion. I love red onion. Okay, cut that up, and then I also got about a quarter cup of cashews, raw cashews. I mean, use roasted if you want. I would have if I had had them. So then I took the pan of broccoli and chicken out of the oven and put it on a plate. And then on that hot pan, I put the raw cashews and I put that in the oven just to toast those cashews just a little bit. While the cashews are toasting, I tossed the red onion with the chicken and the broccoli, and then I covered all of it with a balsamic reduction. Okay, now I know this is fancy, and I only have it because my husband bought it for me. But I'm telling you what, go find yourself some balsamic reduction. You can make your own, But we're not going to talk about that right now because a balsamic reduction is a very syrupy, delicious thing that goes well on a lot of things, okay? And so if you want to eat a big hot salad, try to get some balsamic reduction. If you don't have any balsamic reduction, just use just a little vinegar, but not too much, okay? The thing about the balsamic reduction, it is this doesn't taste vinegary. It's kind of sweet and kind of nutty and almost kind of like a distant cousin to a molasses. Cover and put a little more olive oil on there, and then put the roasted cashews on there. Okay, so I'm looking at the picture right now. You're gonna find it on the post for the chicken pesto pasta. Okay, it is a plate with roasted broccoli tossed with little pieces of chicken. And you can see some of the red onion, which is actually purple, and then the cashews on top. And it was so delicious. It was just so good. So I really think that if you are busy, if you need a lunch to pack, make this, okay? It didn't take me long. I mean, it really took me, it was easy, okay? Make this, pack it, put it in the fridge, get it ready for yourself to take to work. Because it's delicious, it's economical, it's fast, and it's really nourishing. And like I said, nourishing and energizing. And you're just gonna feel so much better. You're gonna be like, look what I did. Because you're taking care of yourself. And that's really, really important to do. Okay, and I'm proud of you. Okay, so what have I done? I gave you a dinner idea, I gave you a lunch idea. I gave you some ideas about, I don't know, what it is I talked about. Oh, expectation. If you think you're really doing a crappy job at something and you're like, this is in my head. What is wrong with me? It's probably because there's an expectation put in there that you should have done it better or you should be better or you sh I'm just saying, I really think everyone struggles with it to some extent. And I think it's a little bit different for everyone. Okay. So that is podcast number one, The Flying Kitchen Express. Not exactly express. We're almost at 37 minutes. But, like I said, I got to do it the way I got to do it. And anyway, I hope it helps. Let me know if you have any questions, household management, anything we talk about. Okay. Your questions are welcome. I do have a lot of information. And also, your questions help me to know what people want to know. And that's extremely valuable to me. So don't think you're like burdening me, okay? Because that's the business. You got to know what people want. It's supply and demand, right? Okay. All right. Thanks so much for being here. You can go to my website, theflyingkitchen.com, for this recipe and many more. Subscribe to my YouTube channel. I'm really trying. Gosh, that's hard. I'll tell you what, YouTube's a hard, difficult crowd. I'm really trying to increase my subscribers. If you want some recipes, cooking all day, or you want to cook on a Sunday or whatever, go to my channel. I just published the miso glazed pot roast recipe, which was really fantastic. And I also give a lesson on how to make a really good mashed potato in a very efficient and effective way. Also, I just published a new pie recipe. It's a fresh strawberry pie, so delicious. And if you want to learn how to make a pie crust, you can also find the masterclass for that on my website or on my YouTube channel. Oh yeah, I'm on TikTok now. Still don't know how I feel about that. And also, if you want more of my recipes, if you're like, I just want lots more of Shannon's recipes, you can join my Patreon. Patreon/ Flying Kitchen. There's also a link on my website. It's $1 a month, okay? That's not exactly a huge money maker for me, but what it is, it's a format where I can expedite my publishing process and be really prolific because I know people are there, okay? People are there who appreciate it. And for me, you see, that makes me more productive because that's where my heart is. So, you see, I figured out my secret formula on productivity. If I know someone's waiting for a recipe, I'll type it. Okay, because I'm always a mother. All right, you take care. Come back, subscribe, and really love to get your questions. You can email me with your questions at shannon@theflyingkitchen.com. Appreciate it. Take care. Bye-bye.